In the first chapter of Acts, we find that God's people are told to be patient. The Lord told his friends, the apostles, that they needed to wait. Jeff announced that we are going to begin tonight with Acts 1 and then move on from there. If you found that particular chapter, let's begin reading with the second verse. Until the day in which he was received up, after that he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus chose the apostles, and he made them his special friends and his special helpers, but most know that even though Jesus chose these men, they did not get to do everything at once. There were some things that they got to do and some promises that they received only after Jesus returned to heaven. These men had to wait. This is hinted at in Acts 1:2. It's specifically stated in Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye heard from me. Waiting is even applied in other parts of the chapter, moving down to what's said in verse 11. Who also said, ye men of Galilee, after Jesus had ascended, there were men, or angels, the Bible describes them as men, who said, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Jesus said he was coming back. He said that he was going to send the Spirit. And those promises were and are true, but some waiting is involved. Verse 13 says, if you will skip down there, the text says they were abiding in an upper chamber. The information in verse 14 also indicates that the disciples were waiting. They were continuing, they were waiting steadfastly in prayer. These people were willing to wait and willing to pray. We do not need to be too old before we learn the meaning of wait. As we watch young children grow up, we find that they wait until they're old enough to ride a bicycle. As children get old enough, they need to wait a little longer so they can finally drive a car. Adults may wait to get married, wait for a job, perhaps a job promotion. The couple that gets married may need to wait for a while before they can buy their first house. There are times when each one of us is compelled to wait. And waiting is, by and large, not something that we as people relish. This evening I want to advance this proposition both for our study and our consideration. Some of the greatest people of God, both Old Testament characters and New Testament characters, were people who waited. And if we want to be a great man of God or a great woman of God, if we want to teach our children to be great people of God as well, one of the qualities that we need to teach them and one of the qualities that we need to instill within ourselves is the quality of waiting. The apostles are my first example. These men were with the Lord about 3 years. They worked and waited with him for more than 36 months. And after the end of this 3-year period, Acts 1 says they were asked to wait a little longer. Waiting 3 years is a long time, but Jesus said that's not enough. You need to wait a little bit longer, and they did. These men waited and they kept the faith. And according to Acts 1 and 2, their waiting paid off. They made the right choice. God came through with his promises. He did exactly as he promised, and these men received that because they had patience. There have been other great people of God. Abraham comes to my mind. He was someone who waited on God. Genesis 25:7, and I am not turning there, but that passage says that Abraham was 175 years old when he died. He lived to the age of almost 200 years. And this age is significant for at least two reasons. First, God was someone who made a number of promises to Abraham. Abraham was someone who waited the length of time that the apostles did. They waited 3 years, and Abraham waited this long. But he passed that 3-year mark. Abraham waited another 7 years and got to the 10-year mark, but God's promises were not fulfilled. Abraham waited a little longer and he got to the 20-year mark, but God's promises, at least all of the promises, were not fulfilled. And he waited a little bit longer and he got to the 30-year mark. Abraham got to the 50-year mark. He got to the 75-year mark. It seems from what I can tell that Abraham waited for more than 100 years for God to fulfill all of his promises. But you know, the Bible says that Abraham died waiting for God to fulfill all of his promises. This is what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13. There are a lot of people in Hebrews 11 who were individuals that waited, but Abraham is perhaps one of the best examples. Again, citing from Hebrews 11, starting with verse 8 and going down through verse 13. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him that is God faithful, who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of heaven, in multitude as the sand of the sea, which is by the seashore innumerable. And then the key verse, verse 13, these all, and this includes Abraham, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham was someone who waited as long as anyone can. He waited until his dying day, and yet he did not get to see all of God's promises fulfilled. Another man that waited was Noah, and because he is such a familiar character, we perhaps do not need to offer a specific citation from his life, but we do know that concerning Noah, he got to see the end result of things. He got to see what his waiting led to. When we look at the life of Noah, we find that he was someone who waited for more than 100 years. More than 100 years, he patiently waited. Most of us are probably familiar with Abraham, Noah, the apostles, but there are some other Bible characters that are less known, but their waiting was just as powerful and just as important as the people who are more widely known. Two of these examples, and I'm going to be reading from this passage, are found in Luke chapter 2. Luke describes two people that we do not talk about very often. One is a man, and the other is a woman. The first verse that we want from Luke 2 is found in verse 25. There was a man named Simeon. And again, there's a lot of information about him, but we'll simply use a verse or two. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man was looking. And that word tells us that he was also waiting. If someone is looking for something, that implies patience and waiting, and that's what this man was doing. He was looking and waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is a description of the Lord. The information in verse 26, that is, this man would not die until this promise had been fulfilled, has caused some to conclude that this man was old. If that's true, it's possible that this man had been waiting a long time, whether he was old or not. It's clear from the text that he was someone who was willing to wait. God had made a promise to him. Before you die, this is going to happen. And this man waited and believed that God would fulfill his word. No matter how old Simeon was, there was a woman who was old. And this lady was Anna. There are a couple of verses that should be read about her. The first is verse 38. This suggests, at least to a slight degree, that she was someone who was also willing to wait. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake of him to all that were looking for the redemption of Israel. It appears that she too was waiting, as were some others, and she was willing to wait. Verse 36 says that Anna was a prophetess. It appears that she, just like Simon, knew that something was about to happen. The prophetic spirit let her know that something good was to occur, and she was a woman who was willing to wait on God. And that pleased God, because God allowed his son to be introduced to these people. The other verse that we want, as I said, is verse 37, and reading that now. And she had been a widow even 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. She believed in God. She believed in what she was doing, and she was willing to patiently wait and serve God. Simeon waited, and the Bible says he was righteous. End about verse 25. Anna was someone who waited and served on God, and the Bible says that God allowed her to be a prophetess, verse 36, and meet the Lord. When we look at some of the greatest characters in the Bible, we often find that they were people who were willing to wait. In our culture, though, we do not, by and large, want to wait. We want things right now. And I would suggest to us that in some respects, this is not always bad. If there is a faster way to get through the checkout line at Walmart, let's take advantage of that. I want to be the first one in line. That's a good thing. But when it comes to the spiritual side of life, we as God's people need to be willing to wait. I want to present a couple of passages from the Old Testament that deal with waiting. If we are familiar with these passages, they should help us if we're a Christian. The first one comes from the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 40, verse 1. The other one is going to be drawn from the book of Isaiah. It's also in the 40th chapter. Psalm 40, verse 1. As you're turning there, I will give you a little background about the passage. Many believe that this psalm was written by David. The psalm describes a writer who was experiencing some kind of difficulty in his life. It may have been a severe illness or something that could have caused death, but there was some kind of traumatic event. Whatever it was quite serious. And there are three basic points as you look at Psalm 40, verse 1. The first point is the writer cried to God. This was a matter which bothered him. It was a very difficult thing. He's pleading with God. The second point in Psalm 41 is stated by two words, God heard. And the third point is found in the word waiting. The writer cried to God, God heard, and the one who cried was willing to wait. I waited patiently for Jehovah, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Sometimes a Christian can say, well, why should I wait on God? If we pray to God and he does not answer me, why should I continue to be a child of God? Why should I pray again? Why should I continue to serve God if I do not immediately get an answer or get the answer that I want? The word that we can supply to that question, the single word, is wait. The psalmist said, I'm willing to wait on God. He said, I'm not only willing to wait on God, but I'm willing to wait on God in a way that is patient. We sometimes use the sooner or later expression, and that is an appropriate expression with our dealings for God. In some cases, we may not need to wait too long. As we look in the book of Acts, Jesus appeared to his disciples over a space of about 40 days, and he said, you need to wait. In a very short period of time, the waiting was over. What Jesus promised came through. But in other cases, the waiting is a long drawn out process. We see that in the life of Abraham. Here was a man who waited on God, literally waited until his dying day and his dying breath. And he went to his grave waiting. The promises were fulfilled, but they were not fulfilled in his life. In the spiritual realm, if we're going to be a Christian, we need to teach ourselves to wait and to wait patiently. If we want to succeed as a child of God, this is one of the keys. This is one of the critical components to being a Christian who ends up in heaven. Another passage that deals with the benefits of waiting, as I said, is also found in the 40th chapter of a book. This is the the book of Isaiah. This is a passage which is well known to a lot of people. It is one of the more famous passages in the Old Testament. This passage has always been kind of dear to me because I was introduced to it shortly after I became a Christian. On one Sunday morning several years ago, there was a guest preacher, and the build-up for this guest speaker was quite large. It was said that this fellow was coming, and he was going to speak on this passage, Isaiah 40, verse 31, and he was going to completely explain it. He was going to tell everybody what it meant. And he got up in the pulpit, and I still remember to this day, he spent about the first 30 minutes talking about how wonderful the passage was, and I'm not sure what he did for the last 15. But I went away that morning very disappointed. I had no idea or understanding of the passage when I left, and it was a great disappointment. But tonight, let's see if we can learn a couple of things from the ending verse in Isaiah 40. But they that wait for Jehovah, there again is that word, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk but not faint. The people who wait on God, and this is the idea being conveyed by the word in the 31st verse, the people who wait on God are the people who put their confidence in him. Whether people are in danger, as we saw in Psalm chapter 40, or they're having some kind of lack in their life or other difficulty, the people who wait on God are those who put their confidence and trust and faith in him. In this context, the passage had application to the Babylonian captives. These people were in a foreign land. They were having great difficulties in life. And the recommendation in Psalm 40, or Isaiah 40, is wait on God. Put your hope, put your trust in him. Now, some have taken this piece of information and concluded that they can sit back and allow God to do everything in their lives and they don't need to do anything. That's not the meaning of the passage. The idea is that we do not try to do everything on our own. The idea is that we connect with God. We become a child of God. And if we are connected with God, if we are joined with God, then when God moves forward, what happens to us? Well, if he moves forward and we are joined to him, then obviously we are going to move forward as well. If he's making progress in an area of our life, then we're going to be making progress as well. And the thought is that those who move forward and with God have strength. And that's why the text uses words like run. Through and with God, people have the strength to mount up with the wings of eagles. People can, if you will, through God, through Christ, fly over and above their problems. They're still going to get scraped by the rocks at different times, but as we saw from Psalm 40, it's possible. The people will eventually prevail in life. The captives in Babylon, this was a message that they were told, and this is the point of application that we can make in our day and time. Through and with God, we will succeed if we're patient. Throughout the Bible, the people of God have been reminded about the need to wait. It's in the Old Testament. Frequently, it's talked about there. We have a number of examples. Even in the New Testament, the people of God were often told to wait. One of the better passages, perhaps, that describes this waiting is found in James chapter 5, verse 7. As this book begins to close, the writer says, be patient, therefore, brethren. That was a nice way of saying wait. Until the coming of the Lord. Now, that identifies how long we're supposed to wait. How long we're supposed to be patient. Some are patient for a day, a week, a month, a year. Some who are Christians are patient for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But then, well, you know, we waited on God long enough. The Bible says that's not long enough. If we're going to be a Christian who succeeds, we need to be patient. We need to be willing to wait until the coming of the Lord. And then James gives an illustration. He says, behold, look. There's something that you need to think about. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it, until it received the early and latter rain. James recognized that there are some things in life that cannot be hurried, and that's true. If we plant a tree, it's only going to grow so fast. We can fertilize it, we can see that it gets appropriate water, but that tree still must function within certain parameters. It's only going to grow so fast. In the secular realm, we recognize that a fruit tree is only going to produce fruit at a certain time of the year. In the secular world, we know that waiting is sometimes necessary. There's no way to hurry up some things. Waiting is not always fun, but it's often the wise choice, the right choice, and the best choice. And the Bible says if we want to succeed as a person in the spiritual realm, we need to be willing to wait. That's our duty. That's the choice that God gives us. Will we wait? And as we think about that tonight, that's the question that we pose to each one here. Are we, as individuals, willing to wait on God? Are we willing to wait to the point where we are like Abraham? Are we willing to wait, even if it means waiting until our dying day and our dying breath, to see God take care of some things, to see God fulfill a promise, or to deal with some other matter in our life? That's a hard question. It's easy to ask, but it's hard to fulfill. Tonight we hope that you are someone, if you have become a Christian, who has made that level, that type of commitment in your life. That you're going to wait on God, no matter how hard it is to pay that price. If you're someone in the past who has become a Christian, but this evening as you think about waiting on God, you know that you've not done very well. You become impatient, you become perhaps dissatisfied with God, and become discouraged, and we can this evening pray with you and encourage you so you can get back on the right road, the road to waiting, patiently. We'd like to do that as a fellow Christian. If you've not become a Christian, we want you to know that there's some people here that pray for you, that want to encourage you to do that, and if you're willing to become a child of God, one of the new responsibilities that you have will be waiting until the coming of the Lord. Whether it comes in your lifetime or comes after we die, the responsibility is the same. We must wait. Tonight, are we willing to commit to the level of waiting described in the New Testament as a Christian? Or are we ready to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, and then to wait faithfully on the Lord to fulfill every promise in His Word? That's the question. And if we can help you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.